The DigitalLifestyle.com presents The Media Centre Show, show 166, Thursday 24th of July 2008. Automation. I'm Ian Dixon, and this week Microsoft released Power Pack 1 for Windows Home Server. This is an update for Home Server that includes a fix for the data corruption bug, which we talked about on the show in the past, plus things like 64-bit Vista support and shared folder backups and so on. Also, HP updated their Media Smart software for Home Server as well. So I have Alan Buckner from HP talking about Power Pack 1 and explaining what's new in the HP Media Smart update and how you can get the update onto your Home Servers. I've got your email and a roundup of the news from the blogs. So welcome to the show. It's great to have you along as ever. First email is from Scott, and you can send me email in ian@thedigitallifestyle.com. It says, "Hi Ian. Enjoyed you on the HP Media Smart Connect webcast. Just wondered which extender you've tried and which gets the highest Wi-Fi acceptance factor. The HP box looks coolest of the ones I've seen, but it's also so far the most expensive. Additionally, did you say why HP put in a pocket drive instead of adding a DVD or Blu-ray? Can you attach an external DVD or Blu-ray drive to the device? Enjoy the show. Thanks again, Scott." Thanks for the email, Scott. As far as the extenders go, I've tested the Xbox 360, the Linksys DMA2100 and the 2200 and the HP MediaSmart Connect, and as far as looks, external looks, I think the HP MediaSmart does probably look the best, but in terms of Wi-Fi acceptance factor, I think it's pretty close one thing really between all the devices, the Linksys and the HP one. The Xbox suffers slightly from the fact that it's a games console, and I tend to use the Xbox 360 controller, which my wife doesn't like using. She prefers the remote, which she can use, but I think she prefers the HP one because it's a better looking device and it's smaller, and you can sort of tuck it out the way. But as the way that the boxes operate, I think the 360 probably is the best performing one. So I've had good experiences with all the extenders. Really, I found that there's not a lot between them. The extra features of the HP one with their own software is quite nice if you've got other devices to connect to, like you want to stream content from other devices, and it does consolidate those. So there's a nice range to choose from, really, and it depends on what your needs are. As for why there's no DVD or Blu-ray drive, I don't know. I think that's a really good idea, and I have mentioned this to HP already. It would be a combined Blu-ray player extender would be great as well. So thanks for the email, Scott. Here's an email from Matt. It says, "Hi, I've been scouring the web to try and figure out if Media Center can be installed on Windows Server 2008. Any ideas? Thanks, Matt." Thanks for the email, Matt. No, there is no way that I know of anyway to get Media Center running on 2008. It requires Vista, and I think it's pretty much hard-coded that it'll only run on Vista, and of that, it's got to be Home Premium or Ultimate Edition. There is one interesting thing that Ed Bott has done this week, and he has been running Windows Home Server on Windows Server 2008 using Hyper-V. And this got me thinking about how you could use Hyper-V in the home. Now, I've been using it, which is the virtualization software for Windows Server 2008. I've been using it in the office, and it works really well. And what Ed was trying was Home Server on 2008. I guess that you could also virtualize Vista and have Media Center running on there, and maybe a network-based tuner, because USB doesn't work. And then you could have one box with Home Server on and Media Center. So it's quite an interesting way of doing it, but I don't think the virtualization of the devices is there yet, so it's not going to be an ideal situation. Interesting idea, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on that. And if anybody's been playing with virtualization and Vista and Home Server in 2008, I'd like to hear how you're getting on with it. So I'll link to Ed's article in the show notes. Now, an interesting email about issue after installing a second TV tuner card. Hi Ian, I've been listening to the show since the very first one. I've learned a lot. Thanks so much for your great effort, and now I've finally built my own Vista Media Center machine after the perfect deal came up. The HP Pavilion M9300T with 4GB RAM and Vista 64-bit came with a single pure ATSC-NTSC combo card, but my old Media Center had a Hophog PVR150 MCE PCI card. After I installed all my content over, I decided to also move the PVR150 to the new Media Center and have the second NTSC tuner available. Media Center detected the card just fine and added it to the guide. However, once I tried to watch live TV or record two shows at the same time, the playback was severely choppy on both cards and totally unacceptable to watch. After disabling the PVR150 in Device Manager, all the choppiness went completely away. I've tried to see if anyone else has the issue, but was unable to dig any resolution up myself, so any help will be greatly appreciated. The only possibility I see is that Media Center got confused with the ordering of the cards, since they are PCI and PCI Express mixed, and this is somehow using PCI cards MPEG decoder instead of the PCI Express's decoder. I'm not sure how to detect such an issue, nor to fix it, even if it's possible. By the way, I've started a wiki at mediacenter.wik.is, where I collect all sorts of resources, including podcast forums, software, add-ons, how-to for common issues like DVD playback extenders, as well as Blu-ray playback. I'd love people to use it as a resource, and anyone is welcome to contribute. I think Wiki is a better place for how-tos than a forum, since the real answer is usually hidden in 321 Plyso posts. So thanks for that email, and I'll check out mediacenter.wik.is, a link for that in the show notes. It's great to have a Media Center wiki and perhaps talk about that on a future show. As for your problem, it really is interesting that it is a potential decoder problem. And I suspect the best route really is to go with a dual tuner card. But if any listeners got any ideas, I'd love to hear from Ian at thedigitallifestyle.com. We can talk about it on the show. So thanks for that email, and like I said, link in the show notes. Now, we talk about forums. There's a question that I've pulled out of the forums that I thought I'd read out to see if we can get some help. So this question came in. It said, I want to see if anybody has any good ideas on how to fix an issue I'm having. I have Windows Vista Ultimate machine on Xbox 360. My machine had to be blown away and I have Vista reinstalled so I could get SP1 installed on the machine. After the reinstall of Vista and the install of SP1, my network performance between the Xbox 360 and the PC went from being able to stream HD to not even able to stream video at all. My network is wireless N and the setup has not changed. I did receive a tip to try and disable auto leveling, and that improved the signal but not enough to stream video. Any ideas would be welcome. That's an interesting problem, that, because it's obviously not a hardware issue because you've just reinstalled things, so it's either drivers or a setup thing. It's worth checking the network drivers that you're using on your card. On your Vista machine, and I'll be interested to hear if any listeners have got any solutions on that. I'll definitely check the network drivers, because that's got to be the first thing that's changed from your old build. So a link for that in the show notes, and listeners could help. That'd be really, really good. Now some news items from on blog on thedigitallifestyle.com. You may remember Tweak MCE for XP, and we're wondering where the Vista equivalent is. Well, yeah, wonder no more, as Microsoft have released Tweak MC for Vista Media Center. The new application is actually available on MSDN as source code, or as a binary you can download it. I always find it fascinating when the source code is posted, so you can have a look through how other people are doing it. But Media Center Tweak MC enables you to tweak things like overscan adjustment, screen resolution, toolbar settings. It can enable DVD library and other DVD functions. There's also a pretty comprehensive TV selection for adjusting things like skip intervals and watched and storage locations. All the kind of things you can do through the registry, but you've got to dig around for. And this is done with a kind of pseudo Media Center UI that's it's not that polished, but it works from Windows, and it's certainly easier than digging through the registry. Thanks to Chris Lanny for the tip on that one. And check that out, link for that in the show notes. Charlie Owen is back blogging and seems to have gone straight for a controversial post. He's posted his thoughts on why DVD streaming is not a feature of Media Center and probably never will be. So far it's been left up to the community to come up with these solutions, and there's a link for that in the show notes, as we talked about that on previous shows. And I personally can't see Microsoft ever implementing this feature themselves, and Charlie points out things like significant legal issues and business models and the whole range of things. Have a look at the link in the show notes, and it's good to see Charlie blogging again. Now, talking about other things you might or might not see, there's been no information from Microsoft regarding future updates of Media Center, but Engadget HD have a post entitled Windows Media Center TV Pack was released yesterday. I can't really say any more about it. All I can say is have a look at the link in the show notes, and like I said, there's nothing official from Microsoft yet. As soon as there's details I can talk about, I definitely will bring that information to you. I mentioned Charlie Owen before, and he's got a couple of posts that are less controversial than the DVD library one. He's got one, a little tip on how to get rid of games that install themselves in the program library on Media Center, which I think is it's a nice idea that they're in there, but you know, it gets a bit confusing because they shell out of Media Center. So have a look at the link for that in the show notes. And he also talks about Heatwave, which is a weather plugin for Media Center, written by the developer that originally wrote one of the first Media Center weather applications back for XP in 2005. It's a nice application, and 64-bit version as well, installer as well, so it's nice to be able to get that. So another weather application, and as Charlie Owen says, it's very rare that he talks about third-party applications, so if he's talked about it, it must be worth talking about on the show. Now, one post I put up this week, there's been a lot of talk about forthcoming features for Media Center, and as we mentioned about DVD streaming and things like that. I thought I'd put my thoughts down on where I'd like to see Media Center develop. Rather than being a specific set of features I'd like to see, I'd really like to see Media Center reach out and be part of a connected system. Where Apple seems to score sometimes is, or certainly by the perception is, that all their pieces work together well. So the iPhone's is designed to work with iTunes and Mobile Me and the App Store, and everything is designed to work together. Whereas Microsoft's digital lifestyle products don't seem to have a coherent solution. Zune doesn't really integrate with Media Center, Home Server doesn't integrate with Zune or Media Center, Windows Mobile doesn't integrate. You know, there's no great over sort of arching solution behind all this thing. So I thought I'd like to things like Windows Home Server integration, where you've got the choice of using Home Server for backing up your for Media Center content, or maybe recording and streaming directly from it, rather than going through kind of a community-based sort of hacks like one we've got on the in the forums. And maybe an archive button. You know, you've got recorded TV shows in Media Center, and some you want to keep, but you don't want to keep showing them in the same recorded TV view, so you can just do archive to Home Server. That moves it off to Home Server, and that's available in perhaps an archive view in the TV section in Media Center. So kind of a two-way integration. And also the same thing goes for Zune as well. I like the Zune software. It's great. You know, you can right-click, sync with your Zune, and you can get recorded TV shown there. But what I'd really like to see is see that through the Media Center UI, so I could be looking at the shows I've recorded, say, okay, put that one on my Zune, put that one on my Zune, share this playlist with my Zune, okay, this podcast, I'm going to listen to it on my Media Center machine, or I may listen on the Zune, because there's no podcast features sort of built into Media Center. The Zunes are pretty advanced. So I'd like to see integration that way. And the same goes with the music store. I mean, there is no music store directly built into Media Center. The Zune store seems quite good, so why not integrate that into Media Center? Have a 10-foot user interface where you can browse music, you can buy music, listen to music, and sync it with the Zune. Have it all in one place. And the same goes with video. I want to be able to purchase videos that are accessible on the Zune, on Media Center, on the Xbox 360. It wants to all come down to one location, and then I can decide where how I want it to distribute around with my devices. So I'm not talking about third-party devices either. I'm just talking about Microsoft products. Connect them all together and make them work together well. And Windows Mobile, you know, let's have a bit of integration on there. There doesn't seem to be anything on that at the moment. Maybe there's a TV show. I think, okay, I've got my phone connected to the to my MIDI center PC via wireless or via USB, and there's space on it. Let's copy this file over to it. You know, right click, you know, use the I button on the remote and send that over. Because I think what will happen is if these things are integrated together, they'll sell each other better. So when you, if you're a home server user and you're looking at an MP3 player, you'll automatically think of Zoom because you've seen the hooks in there already. And bring these things to work together, and things like live mesh for storing and syncing data, all these can come together. Maybe this is coming in Windows 7. Maybe maybe I'm completely wrong, and Microsoft should concentrate on the core features of TV features of Media Center. But I would like to see all these things play together nicely. So let me have a let me know your thoughts. There's a post on the blog. You can leave comments. There's already some interesting comments on there, or you can send me those on via email, ian@thedigitallifestyle.com, or you can keep in touch via Twitter, isdixon. So it's twitter.com/isdixon. Loads of people following now. It's really good. I really love Twitter. And one other thing I want to mention as well before I go to the interview is that I'm planning future guests on the show. So I thought I'd want to take this opportunity to find out what you, the listeners, want. What kind of shows do you want to see? Do you want to see more developer-oriented shows, more OEMs like HP? Do you want to see more Microsoft shows? Do you want to see more third-party app talk, more news? I really do like getting the feedback. So again, you can email me, ian@thedigitallifestyle.com, or via Twitter, or via the forums, or you can comment on the post that I did on the blog as well. On all the posts that we talked about today are on the blog. So let me know what you think. I really want to tailor the show to suit what you listeners want. So that's the best way of finding out, is you let me know. Okay, so one other thing I want to mention as well is look out for a video on the HP TouchMart. One has just arrived today at my house, so I'm going to be having an unboxing of that, and I'm going to be trying to use that and as my main MIDI center machine. So I'll let you know how I get on with that. So I'll have a look at that on the blog. So now it's time for the interview, and this is Alan Buckner from HP. Alan Buckner, welcome to the Media Center Show.
Ian, appreciate you having me.
It's great to be able to talk today about Windows Home Server Power Pack 1 actually finally being out there and out in the wild.
Agree. It's great, and as you know, we spend considerable time working with Microsoft to make sure not only that our HP update was compatible with Power Pack 1, but we ultimately decided, to the extent possible, let's time the releases so that both are available for customers at the same time. So very happy that as of yesterday, that is the case. And we've had many people out there downloading it and blogging about it. So it's great to finally have that date arrive.
So there's actually two sort of separate parts of the update, isn't there? There's the Microsoft part for the Power Pack 1, and then there's the HP part. So just tell us what's in the Power Pack 1.
Yeah, so for the Microsoft Power Pack 1 update, kind of the big new feature set that you're going to see there is, first and foremost, some really nice enhancements for people that have been using home servers. A good example of that is the ability to back up your shared folders to an external USB drive. So for people who are really concerned about disaster recovery, you know, your precious photos, music, videos, documents, you can now take those from the server, put them on a USB drive, and then take that USB drive off-site somewhere. There have been some other enhancements. One that we're particularly excited about from HP's perspective is the Windows Vista 64-bit support, since we are seeing more and more customers buy their PCs with 64-bit installed. It was very important that we have the Windows Home Server OS capable of backing up and interacting with those systems as well. There have been a number of other enhancements that Microsoft made to Windows Home Server related to power consumption, remote access improvements, some other languages I know that they've added in there. And then, of course, the last but certainly not least is the data corruption bug fix is in Power Pack 1. So although that was something that was not happening to a lot of people, the fear of it certainly was real and something that people were very concerned with. So it's nice to see that that fix is part of the Power Pack 1 update as well.
I mean, the bug we've talked about on the show in the past, it does seem to not affect many people, but it's one of those things, like you said, that the perception of that it's there, it's an issue, so people will be relieved to see that update, including the power pack.
Yeah, I think so as well. You know, it is something, and our data certainly is consistent with Microsoft's, and that the Windows Home Server data corruption was not something that manifested itself very often, but still, from the standpoint of a user, I've been a user of a Windows Home Server ever since we could get a hold of one. It was something that obviously we wanted to get fixed, and so it's great to see that fix is out there now in the PowerPack 1 update from Microsoft, and we can put that behind us and focus on now some of the really cool new features that are in not only the Microsoft update, but is also included in the HP update that we just released as well.
So the Microsoft update is for Windows Home Server, and any Windows Home Servers can use users can download that. What's the difference between that and then the HP, or what's the new features in the HP update?
Yeah, so the HP update, we announced this back at CES this year, and the HP update is really designed for both our current customers as well as any new customers looking to buy MediaSmart servers. And they're really designed to give better experiences for customers in a couple really key areas. The first one is we've included McAfee antivirus that runs on the server. So that's enabling customers to have an additional layer of data protection, since the server is often the centralized point, the aggregation point for all of your content in the home. We wanted to make sure that customers had an ability to have virus scanning running there as well, in case maybe they had a virus scanner that was out of date or didn't catch a specific virus on one of their client PCs in the home. This is another layer of protection, so that if one is found on the server, it'll quarantine it and keep it from infecting any other files that are on the server. So that's the first one. It's from McAfee. It comes as part of our update to all customers. It runs as a 7-month free trial, and then after that point, it will cost McAfee sets the pricing, but it'll cost roughly what it costs to have virus protection running on a PC in the home.
So that's an entirely sort of new product then, isn't it? Because previously, most people didn't have sort of the specific antivirus software running on the home server. They had it as part of the rest of the network.
Absolutely. I mean, this is something that when we set out to put our home server products into the marketplace, one of the things we wanted to make sure we were able to do is continue to add value for customers over time. One way you can do that, of course, is with the Windows Home Server add-ins that there's over 50 now available in the marketplace. But HP really wanted to ensure that we continue to add value to the platform as well for customers that bought these products. And so we saw this, since data protection is kind of core to the whole category, you know, you're backing up your files and all your critical data to the server. We thought that having server-side antivirus running was another nice area for customers to have on their servers. And so that was one of the features that we included in our update. And we think it's, and again, I've been running it for a while, and I find it to be very reassuring to know that I have that extra level of virus protection beyond what I would have on my individual PCs in the home.
So continue, then. You said there's some other new features as well.
Yeah, so the second area that we really focused on was media streaming. So as Windows Home Server users know, operating system comes with Windows Media Connect. What HP did after talking with a lot of customers and kind of looking at the types of things people are wanting to do in their home with media, we decided to ship a media streamer from a company called Packet Video. The product's called PV Connect, so it stands for Packet Video Connect. And this is a fully DLNA-compliant media streamer. And so what that means for customers in their homes is, as you're trying to stream media to other devices, like digital media adapters, HP has a product called the MediaSmart Connect. There's a variety of other digital media receivers in the marketplace. There's devices like game consoles that have media streaming capability. We really wanted to enhance that experience. And so what Packet Video Connect provides is really three key things. The first is compatibility with a much broader range of devices that customers would have in their homes, so that they can take advantage of the media streaming across a variety of different products that are in the marketplace. The second one is it provides a more visual and I guess more pleasing experience for customers when they're doing things like viewing photos on their televisions. We have full photo thumbnail capabilities, so as you're browsing photos, you can see the thumbnail of them before you go into full screen mode. And it's just a more visually appealing way to go through your photo collection if you're browsing on a television. Third area is related to music. Similar, when you're browsing through your music collection, Packet Video provides full support for album thumbnails, album art, so that you're able to see those on the television as well. So it was really about making sure that for customers who want that in-home media streaming experience, and a lot of our customers today with Media Smart servers are doing that, we wanted to ensure that that experience was as robust as possible and as visual as possible, since you're often browsing through a remote control on a television. And so the compatibility with more devices, the photo capability with thumbnails, and the music album art are really good examples of what we tried to enable in that media streaming experience.
So does the streaming facility then replace the one that's sort of built into the home server at the moment anyway?
Yeah, you can keep Windows Media Connect running. We obviously don't recommend that, just because you'll now see, depending on the digital media receiver you're using, you might see two copies of all your different content. So in my example, I have the Packet Video turned on, and I have the Windows Media Connect turned off. And that way I just see one copy of all the content that's in my photos, music, and video folders.
Right, so yeah, so it's because it's a better service, you may as well disable the old one and use this one instead.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And then, so how do we get hold of these updates then?
Yeah, so the HP update actually is available to everyone now. You can go and either manually update it, and you do that through the Windows Home Server console. For people that have a Media Smart server, there is a Media Smart tab on the console, and within that there's a check for updates link, and that would cause the update to come down automatically. The other option is you can just, if you've enabled automatic updates, which we find most people do, but that update will come to you automatically as well. The Microsoft update for PowerPack 1, you need to go out and download from Microsoft until next month, when they plan to make it available as a pushed update that comes down to you automatically. I don't have an exact date on that, but I know that it's slated to be here in the very near future.
Right, so you can just go onto the home server through sort of a remote desktop, download that, and run the update.
Exactly right. The other thing that's nice, and this is part of the reason that we took additional time to get our update out there, you can run these updates in any order. You can do the HP update and then the Microsoft, or vice versa. It shouldn't matter. In either case, both should install and run and be fully compatible with one another.
Ah, right, that's a good idea. I noticed when I installed the HP update, I got an extra button on the home server console for the PV Connect.
Yeah, you do. So the way that add-in was put together, and you actually have one for McAfee as well, is it is an add-in. When you run that install, comes through as an add-in, just as many of the third-party add-ins on the market do today. And so you can go to those tabs and experiment and see what the various things are that you're able to do with both the Packet Video Media Streaming as well as the McAfee Antivirus. I should mention as well, Ian, one other thing I neglected to cite earlier is that the third major area of our update is, of course, we're making sure our software is fully compatible with Vista 64-bit as well. So linking into the Microsoft 64-bit compatibility, the HP software that comes through Media Smart Server also gets updated so that it's fully 64-bit compliant.
Right, so if you got a Vista 64 client, you need to have both the Microsoft update and the HP update.
Correct.
Right, and then the client kind of gets downloaded, or you get a little notification saying there's a new version of the client available, I guess.
Yep, exactly right.
I mean, I think it's great that the PowerPack 1 is sort of finally out there, as it was announced back at CES, but it's good to see that the home server product keep getting continual updates, so it's nice to see a product, you know, developing and not being left to sort of the state it was when it was released and waiting for the next, you know, big update of it.
Yeah, and that was certainly our intent. It took us a little longer than we would have liked, But I think in the end, the intent is still the right one, which is continue to provide, you know, new services, new features for customers that buy into the home server platform. And so we're excited to have it out there and excited to get feedback from people as they start to use this. We're very active. We have a lot of people that spend time reading the blogs and reading through issues people have and ideas people have for new things they'd like to see on their MediaSmart servers. And so these two areas certainly rose to the top early on as we started going out and, taking advantage of those forums and understanding what people are looking for. And our hope is we'll continue to do that down the road with additional features as well. So it's something that is kind of core to our product philosophy with MediaSmart servers, and this is the first example of that.
Well, like I said, I think it's great that the product's being developed, and we kind of look forward to seeing new features and functions coming down in the future.
We are as well.
Great. Thanks, Alan.
Thank you, Ian. I appreciate the time today.
Okay, that's it for this week. Next week, we'll be talking about Media Center again. Let me know your thoughts on the interviews and what you'd like to see. Email me, Ian@thedigitallifestyle.com, twitter.com/ISDixon. Thanks for listening. I really do appreciate it. And I'll see you next week. Bye.